Grand Hall, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. You are listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority and Busey Bank. Not a happy football Monday, Mr. David.
Good morning, Molly. Yes, it's a Monday of reckoning. It is a pretty bleak day football-wise in the city of Chicago after the Bears lost a game to the Colts that they should not have lost, that was there for the taking, and an opportunity they squandered. This one's going to leave a mark.
Yeah, it's a bad loss. There's no shadow of a doubt. And I don't know if it's any consolation, but a lot of teams that were 0-2 ended up winning on the day. I mean, it's just that statistic we were told held up. The idea that 70% of the teams that start 0-2 win on week three. Yeah, I mean, you saw that all over the league.
No consolation, you're right.
No consolation.
Absolutely no consolation.
Right.
There's very little that you can say today as we will sift through the rubble.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be very little evidence you can present that will make anybody feel any better about that disaster. That was about as bad as it can get for a Bears team that had the kind of expectations they came into this season with, the kind of assumptions that we were all ready to make about this team, this franchise, this organization. And this was the kind of bad loss that will make you wonder about everything you felt good about coming into this year.
Yeah, that's fair. That is a fair assessment of how awful that game felt.
Every level.
Yeah. By the time that game was over, there wasn't a lot of good to
no.
it.
No, every
there
level.
There were some horrible, there was horrible some, moments.
There was bad, and then there was worse.
Yeah, yeah, it was really ugly.
From player evaluation to coaching judgment to player execution, boy, where do you want to start? Because every point that you could jump into this conversation would be the right one, because every decision that was made yesterday seemed to be the wrong one.
And that's why the post game was as horrible as it was on top of that. To hear Matt Eberflus with the sunshines and balloons in the aftermath.
This is what I mean.
Holy cow.
This is what I mean. When you start to make assumptions about things that are trending in what looks like the right direction, and then you watch what you saw and see what we all could not look away from, and then you hear the head coach of the team that he presided over all this tried to tell you that there's something to be positive that could be taken out of this.
That's not true.
It's insulting.
Yeah, it was a really bad loss. It was a 1-2 start to a season. It sort of underscored this idea that the Bears did not prepare correctly to open the year. I don't know how you get away from that feeling. I don't know how to feel like that wasn't an outright just, you know, here's the thing.
I wish it was just that. Okay.
I don't want to limit it. You're right.
I don't want to just say that.
It's not as simple as that.
It goes beyond just, well, you know, this team didn't handle preseason correctly and they started out slow, because we saw some evidence of that. They overcame that because they did win the opener. But what we saw.
Did they?
Yeah, they did. I mean, their defense and special teams won the opener. I guess we had to give them credit there. It happened. It actually happened.
The only 0-3 team in football lost the opener, as they've lost the rest of their games and their quarterback.
Okay, but what I'm saying is this doesn't scream to me like this is a team that is starting slow because they weren't prepared well. What the problem with yesterday is that it's more than that. It's about what you assumed to be true about year three of a regime and what you assume to be true about a franchise that maybe had learned the hard way about certain things doesn't seem to be any different despite all of our hopes that they were. And this is not just an early season problem.
No.
I don't think it gets better because calendar is going to flip to October.
No, the problems, for instance, on the offensive line, were there yet again. they were on display. The you know, if ever there was a moment in a game, you got the ball at the 2 yard line, you did a direct snap, and you tried to run the ball. You got a yard, so you're on the 1 yard line. You get flummoxed twice. You can't get a yard. And then whatever that was, whatever that trickery that there were photos all over the internet of the front five. 4 of them were just laying on the ground.
Just beaten.
Beaten. Literally on the ground.
You've got an offensive line in a state of disarray and overmatched. Yeah. You've got an offensive coordinator committed to being too cute. You've got a quarterback that looks good but is a little bit too erratic. And you've got a head coach that can't grasp the obvious and can't do the totality of the job. What year is it? What year is it?
Dan Pompey told us.
It's like it's 2022 all over again.
Dan Pompey told us on the pregame that Eberflus spent a lot of time this week in the offensive line room.
Right, I heard
that. He was at their meetings. Mm-hmm. Now think about that. How did that work out?
Well, I imagine. See, I heard that, and I know the symbolism of having a head coach spend time in meeting rooms and stuff. But I don't pin the offensive line problems on Matt Eberflus as much as it's a point of emphasis. It's a roster construction issue. It's an evaluation problem.
And
I think you could put Bill Belichick in that meeting room for 7 hours a day, and I'm not sure it would be much better. They marginally improved pass protection yesterday, but barely. They made a move with the starting lineup, which I guess is good in terms of accountability. Maybe that was injury-related, but there's not very much that happened that makes you feel that much better about the offensive line.
Nothing.
And then it's, personnel, it's scheme, it's a lot of things, but the offensive line was only part of the overall issue yesterday.
Listen, it was on both sides of the ball, frankly.
Mm-hmm.
That the defense that we had not seen have problems had problems. The cornerback, who seemed fairly unbeatable, had problems. You know, you couldn't help but think that there was you could count the positives on like maybe 2-3 fingers of one hand.
They're playing a quarterback that certainly wasn't ready and isn't ready to be an NFL starter.
No.
That was his 20th start yesterday since high school for Anthony Richardson. 20th start since high school.
Probably tell.
And you could tell. And he's feast or famine. He did throw the Bears football as we thought he would. But he also threw it behind them, as you're alluding to, with the Jalen Johnson, Alec Pierce mix-up. And it wasn't necessarily his mix-up as much as he ran right by him.
Yeah, that's not a mix-up.
That's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
Straight line running. Oh, he's open. I can do that. Anthony Richardson beat him. And that didn't lead to a touchdown. The Bears ended up getting a turnover there because Richardson flubbed it up.
Well, that was another one. You lost to a quarterback that did that.
That's it.
Threw a pick in the end zone. I don't know how you call that play.
You lost to a quarterback that, if you look at the Bears' schedule, as all of us have, mm-hmm. I don't know. With due respect to his athleticism and his potential and what he's capable of accomplishing down the road, you lost to a quarterback who right now might be one of the worst you're going to play this year. And look at his passer rating. Look at his numbers from yesterday. He completed 10 passes, and he beat you.
Look at the number of plays you ran. Look at the number of passes that you had. It's extraordinary. Caleb Williams had 52 attempts. The Bears ran, what was it, 84 plays? How in the name of God do you get beaten that way?
52 pass attempts.
52 times? Jeez.
Yes,
he was surprised.
Jeez. 56 called. He was sacked 4 times. Actually, 60 called because he had the scrambles.
Yes.
They called 60 pass plays out of how many snaps that they called?
84, right?
We have found the identity of the Bears offense. It's a drunk college kid, not knowing whether he's coming or going. What are they doing? They don't know what they're doing. It's one. They get in first and goal on the 4. You want to start there?
That's what I. That's what I said. It's like you get to the what was the play? Tell me what that play was.
Speed option left. Speed option left.
Okay.
On two.
Okay. Well,
that's a high school play. That's what it was.
Okay. and that play lost 12 yards. Your running back that you went out and bought, he had a long carry of 4 yards, and he had a 12-yard loss at the goal line.
Well, there's nowhere to go.
What's that play? And then what did the coach say about the play in the aftermath of it? Oh, we like that play.
You like that play?
What?
They broke the huddle too late for it to change that play.
Give the man smelling salts before you lead him to the microphone.
The operation was flawed from start to finish.
Wow.
Caleb Williams did not have enough time to call an audible. If he didn't like that play, we heard from Coleman Shelton about what he thought about that play. It's rare to hear an offensive lineman sound this confused or critical of a play called by his offensive coordinator.
Speed option on, you know, obviously wasn't the greatest look to run that.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest, I was blocking, so I didn't see what happened outside.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's hard to look back at one play and can say that's the play that did it, but honestly, I couldn't tell you what really happened. We'll look at the film and we'll try to grow from it. Obviously, when you hear a play, you focus on what your responsibility is for said play, and you're not thinking of any other thing. You just go out there and try to do your job. So the play didn't work out, and we'll get back to the drawing board, and hopefully we have a better play next time or whatever it is.
The beginning of that is the best part. Is that the play didn't work? He basically questioned
a play call.
The play call.
Well,
that's not Olin Krutz, by the way.
Right.
That's not a Pro Bowl caliber center.
But he went to the same school.
Doesn't matter. It's not Olin Krutz. It's not even a center that you can guarantee is going to start every game this year.
It's a guy whose job seems on the line always. If there was another option.
But he's been here 5 minutes,
yes,
and he's questioning the play caller in game three, which, look, I get it because
I totally get it.
Everybody at home is nodding their head in agreement. What were they thinking? What were they doing? Mm-hmm. The confidence has eroded already in Shane Waldron. So three games in, the Bears are where they have been so many years before. This feels so familiar. For an offseason that was so different, this is so much the same. Same old, same old. Same old Bears.